Hello, everyone, and welcome to Tea Time. As most of you know, this is the time where I drink my tea, get ready to record some things, and ramble about some stuff to you guys. It is December 2019, and winter is upon us. Winter has come. It is here, y'all. And it is freaking cold outside. It's actually also pretty cold inside. Last year was my first year in my own apartment where I had to pay all of my own bills. And in the wintertime, our heating bill went from, well, it wasn't the heating bill, it was the electric bill, went from our normal about $80 USD to like $250 USD. And I said to myself, never again. So this year, we have a little space heater that we just kind of carry between rooms. And it's really not even that little. It's kind of heavy and a little bit of a pain, but our electric bill is much more manageable this year than it was, so I'm dealing with it. My dog has decided that it's playtime, so if you hear some strange noises in the background, they are not captives or people that I have kidnapped, just my dog being insane. Don't ask too many questions about it. Anyways, so with it being winter and December, it is nearly the holiday season. For me personally, that means Christmas. And I was talking to some of my friends about interesting Christmas traditions. On my mom's side of the family, Christmas Eve is actually a little bit more special than Christmas for us. We open a good number of our presents. A good number of our presents on Christmas Eve, actually. And it's like a big thing where the whole family just kind of sits together around the Christmas tree with all the lights off and like only the lights on the Christmas tree on. And we'll have eggnog or hot cider or hot chocolate or something. And just have a very relaxing opening presents time. I know that a lot of the time when you're opening presents with like, you know, you go to your grandma's house and all of the grandkids are there, like all your cousins are there, opening presents kind of tends to be a very hectic, kind of crazy situation. But that was always a big thing for us, was like having just a very relaxed family time for that. My grandmother on my mom's side, actually, it's very funny. When I was little, I used to hate this. And all of the adults hated it too, so I can't imagine that I would still like it as an adult, probably. But she forced everyone to open presents, like, one at a time. Like, everybody got their presents passed out. We all had our big piles. And we would go around in, like, clockwise in a circle. And you got to open one present. And then the next person got to open one present. So it took about 3 hours to open everyone's presents. And it was torture. Especially as, like, you know, a six-year-old child. But I recently spent a Christmas with my boyfriend's family for the very first time ever. And I was helping his mom decorate the tree. And I pulled out this ornament that I had never seen an ornament like this before. And I was like, okay, well, you know, everybody has their strange family ornaments. What's the story behind this? And I showed it to his mom and I was like, what's with the pickle ornament? And she came over very excitedly and says, oh, don't put that one on yet. We put that one on last. I was like, okay, so what's with the pickle ornament? And she explained to me that apparently it's more of a Southern tradition. But you have this glass pickle ornament and you put it on the tree last. And this is something you normally do when you have kids. The first kid to find the pickle ornament in the tree gets one extra present. And I had never heard that before just last year. And now I feel like I see stories about it all the time. Maybe I just was never paying attention. Maybe I saw the stories of the pickle ornament and blocked it from my memory forever. We never had anything like that. But going back to my mom, she actually, now that I'm thinking about Christmas, I'm remembering that she always put oranges in our stockings. We would always get oranges and a bag of nuts. And as we grew older, the oranges actually turned into chocolate oranges, and the nuts became this candy that I can never say right, and I'm gonna butcher it, but those chocolate hazelnut things are like a little ball. It's called like Ferrero Rocher. I don't know how to say it. It just kind of sounds like I'm slurring my speech a little bit. The man who invented, or woman who invented that, was clearly drunk when they said it. And you can just imagine, oh goodness. You can just imagine like the people in the boardroom trying to understand what he's saying and scribbling, like, what did he say? I don't know, just write something down. And that's how I imagine Ferrero Rocher got named. On the topic of chocolates, I'm going to tell you guys a story. You know how when you don't really have a lot of money, and it's around Christmas time or Hanukkah time or whatever gift-giving time, you kind of try to look up maybe some DIY Christmas presents? Well, my thing for many years was that I would make different flavors of fudge and give out fudge and like tins of cookies and things like that for Christmas. One year, my best friend and I decided that we were going to make fudge for both of our families and all of our internet friends, and that we were going to ship this fudge all across the world. Now, you'd think that maybe the thing that went wrong in this plan was shipping fudge across the world. That's not what went wrong. In the end, let me tell you, it's got a happy ending. The fudge was delicious. But in order to make enough fudge for both of our families and all of our internet friends, we had to make a lot of fucking fudge. In the end, we ended up making 11 different flavors of fudge and 3 pounds of each one. So we had 33 pounds of fudge. We had so much fudge that it was cooling outside on the porch because there was no room for it in the fridge anymore. It took us about 6 hours to make this fudge. And when you're making fudge, hold on, my neighbors are stomping down the stairs outside. I'm sorry. All right, I'm back. When you're making fudge, the single most important thing that you must do is make sure that all of the sugar crystals have melted and are a one cohesive unit with the chocolate and the marshmallow fluff, because that's how I make it. By the way, if you ever want to make delicious fudge, delicious, delicious fudge, buy a little jar of marshmallow fluff, and there is a recipe on the back, and it makes great candy. So, anyways, when you're making this fudge, obviously you have to test it to make sure that everything is melted and that you got the flavor right, because we really did make 11 different flavors. Oh, my dog is making noise in the next room. I have to make sure she's not, I don't know, eating the couch. Be right back. All right, I'm back. Everything is fine. Couch is still intact. Where was I? Right. Tasting 11 different kinds of fudge. Well, by the end of the night, we were a little silly and a little less patient and very, very hopped up on sugar. We might have also been a little drunk. I feel like there was probably alcohol involved in this situation. That honestly sounds like something we would do. Like the time that we made alcoholic gummy bears. That's a story for another time. Anyways, so the last couple batches of fudge were not great. Well, okay, that's not true. The very last batch was awesome. It was actually my favorite. But a few leading up to that, we were not really altogether there making this fudge. And we were coming up with ridiculous creations at that point. We made one that was a butterscotch base. So, like, the actual fudge itself was butterscotch flavored. And then it had Reese's Pieces on top. And then I made a layer of rum, like butter rum flavored drizzle to go on top of it. That was a little crazy. It was really good. But like, clearly somebody who's drunk and probably hungry and high on sugar came up with that. Hi, honey. What are you doing? I'm recording right now. A little bean came to say hi. Hello. She wants treats. That's what this is. Anyways, the very last flavor we made actually ended up being my absolute favorite. It was a white chocolate macadamia nut with dried cranberries and an orange glaze on top. And that shit was dope. I loved it. Some of the other flavors that we made were like chocolate mint, but with Andes mints. So it was like the green kind of mint. We made a crunchy kind of peppermint bark that we used candy canes for. A maple walnut, I think, that was actually requested by Energy Matrix. Most of you probably know Energy Matrix. He is in the Discord. He's a very longtime friend of mine. But he requested that, and we actually sent a large amount of it to him. And he was like, I think it was like 3 days later, he was like, yeah, I ate all of that. I made a caramel macchiato flavor. Of course, you had the regular, like, white chocolate, milk chocolate, dark chocolate with nuts, etc. The Oreo one that we made was fucking awesome. That was delicious. That was a little dangerous because I probably would have eaten that forever. One of the ones that got a little bit fucked up during the shenanigans was a pistachio one, which is normally my favorite, but the way that I flavor the pistachio fudge is actually with a packet of pistachio instant pudding. That was one of the ones that didn't really get dissolved all the way, so we had a very crunchy fudge. I honestly don't remember any of the other ones off the top of my head. This was a very long time ago. Oh, all right. What are you doing over there? Okay. Sorry. What I do remember is that I went to New York to visit a friend, and well, it was a lot of friends. I went to New York to visit some friends. And so, obviously, I had to bring some of this fudge. And what I mean by that is, I brought a lot of this fudge. And so, here's me, Penn Station, New York, surrounded by hundreds of people, carrying two gigantic paper shopping bags filled with fudge. I swear what I brought with me was like half of the fudge that we made. My friend came to pick me up from Penn Station, and I handed him one of the bags and said, "Merry Christmas, please carry this." It was crazy. I took a break from making fudge for Christmas for the next like 5 years, I think. It's been a long time. I think I made it once since then, and I think that it's been about 6 years since that incident. Maybe longer, actually, now. It might have been about 8 years. But it was fun. I highly recommend it as a Christmas gift. Fudge is delicious. Just maybe don't make as much as I did. I think there's only one other Christmas shenanigans story maybe worth telling, and it's not a very long story. This is a very well-guarded secret between me and my cousin who does not speak English. Growing up, I was around a large number of Spanish-speaking people and picked up Spanish. This is when I was a little girl. As I started to get a little older into my tweens and teen years, God, I hate that word, I'm sorry. I kind of forgot it just because I wasn't really around a lot of Spanish-speaking people anymore. And unfortunately, when you don't really practice a language, it's very hard to retain it. However, because I had heard it so much as a child, I am still able to kind of understand what someone is talking about for the most part. And my uncle married a woman from a Spanish-speaking country, and she had a daughter, so her daughter became his stepdaughter and my cousin. That's the backstory. So my cousin moved to the United States with her mom at that point, did not really speak any English at all. I hardly understood any Spanish, and most of the ways in which we communicated was music. We would sit and listen to music together, and we could kind of talk almost through song lyrics. It was kind of very silly. Well, one year, when I was about 16 or 17 or not old enough to drink alcohol, we found a bottle of what was apparently some very expensive scotch, and we drank most of it. My dog has found her stick. If you hear strange noises, again, it's just my dog. Don't ask questions. So here we are, the middle of the night, Christmas Eve, alone, in the dark, drinking scotch. 16 years old. Neither one of us can really understand the other, but whatever is going on, it is apparently hilarious because I just remember us like singing and laughing, and it was a great time. We were very drunk. We finally went to bed. I got woken up the next morning at around 8 o'clock in the morning for that very slow, circular, one present at a time Christmas ceremony that I talked about earlier. And I felt like shit. I was so cranky. I was like, my head hurt, my eyes hurt, I was fucking tired. I got like 4 hours of sleep. My cousin was the same way. And that's the story of the first time I ever had a hangover. And my uncle found the bottle of scotch and was like, who fucking drank all my scotch? And me and my cousin just kind of like look away. I don't know. I didn't do it. Why would I drink? That's gross. Ew. I'm like, you know, he knows. He fucking knows. But I will never admit to it. Ever. And neither will she, so no one will ever truly know, will they? Anyway, I just wanted to share some silly stories with you guys this month. Hopefully you can have a laugh, even if it is at my expense. And if you have any silly stories about holidays or family gatherings, I would love to hear them. So please, you can leave them in a comment. You can at me in Discord. Maybe don't at me. I mean, you can at me. It's fine. Whatever. But tell me, because I love sharing silly stories like this. Maybe we can all just have a little laugh at each other for this holiday season. Anyways, I really hope that all of you guys have an amazing December, an amazing whatever holiday that you celebrate. Next time we have tea time, it will be 2020, and we'll be celebrating a brand new year. I really look forward to it, and I thank every single one of you for sticking around with me and being amazing. Have a great month. Bye!